Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the success of Yehudit Markelis and Eugene Kartonovich in the success of their wedding in Israel. They should have health, happiness, and healthy children. Also, this whole month is sponsored by Yikutel Yurchai Mordechai Ben Gitel Rivka and success in Yerushalayim Elisheva Navar Gadiel Elisheva Emir Elisheva Shefel Elisheva and Amakavet Habasha and success of the soldiers and success of the hostages coming home. Happy to be back. I was in Europe for a week. I've always had I always loved Monte Carlo from watching the James Bond movies. So I said, I have to go to Monaco. I have to go experience, etc. So I was there in Paris. Really, really great vacation. It's funny how Monaco has the second per capita Jews in the world. Israel's number one and Monaco's number two. And it was funny, I was in a synagogue there, Safra Synagogue, and I was the 10th person. So you could see, you could have thousands of Jews, doesn't mean people are doing anything. But really, 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 really great place. So today I'm going to talk to you about a great book called The Presence Process. Very similar to Letting Go, but very different. This book actually was, somebody told me about it when I was in Mexico, Moy Hafono. We were having lunch in Mexico, and he's like, you know, somebody was on the podcast, recommended the book to you. But I guess back then I wasn't so present, I guess, when he recommended the book. So I bought the book, The Presence Project. Obviously, I had a nice ride on the plane. And he said really, really something. He said one line that really has literally, I can't get it out of my head. And it's really, really helped me this past week. And it says, if you want to feel better, you need to be better at feeling. And that's really, boom. And you can apply that line to everything. I mean, we're always trying to feel better. I want to feel better. But at the end of the day, feeling better by, you're trying to feel better by distractions. You're feeling better by, unfortunately smoking. You're trying to, feel better by eating. You're trying to feel better by anything. But you're not trying to feel better by learning why you're not feeling the right way. Like, what's causing you not to feel better? And he begins the book. Again, the book is strong. There's a lot of Hasidish to it, but it's the key is showing up, growing up by showing up. When we show up and we pay attention to these feelings, exactly what our intention is. Our intention is not just to feel better all the time. Our sages tell us that we have to feel the pain of the Shechina. Like if I don't feel the pain that God's feeling, I can never pray the way I want to pray. So the illusion, I always have to feel better. And this is why we're so ADHD. Everybody has very little attention span. Anytime something bothers somebody, they're on the phone, they need to eat something. It's like there's no patience for allowing the feeling to come up and heal. That is the problem of the problem. So, and it also applies also, one, on an emotional perspective, and in a second, on also a performance perspective. Like, think about it. You have to, even when you're working out, you have to feel the burn. You have to feel the burn. It's good for you. But if you don't want to feel the burn, you're going to do less sets. Or if you want to go on a cold plunge, let's say for 2 or 3 minutes, and you want to feel 4 hours better for 4 hours, you have to feel the 3 hours. You have to feel the 3 minutes. And we're so accustomed that I told myself, yes, if I feel, I will feel better. If I start paying attention to my feelings, I will feel better afterwards. Like, we always should focus more on how we feel afterwards, not feeling before. This is where the key, because we know that the evil inclination always wants to basically create resistance. So he started the book. How did he write this book? He started this book. His name is Michael Brown. He got Horton syndrome. And basically, it's a very, very difficult disease. And he basically, his doctors basically told him, listen, you're number one candidate for drug addiction or suicide. I mean, imagine, God forbid, he says the majority of people who get this, either, God forbid, they go into drug addictions or they go into suicide. It's that painful. And he went to all these healers, et cetera. He's from South Africa. And basically, he got to a point where it's either he's going to check in to life or check out of life. And that's usually the crossroads when people get, God forbid, these things. Either they check in or they completely check out. And he says, since I wasn't ready to die yet, I decided to do whatever I can to heal myself. And so basically, what did he do? He went into these two ceremonies. one Indian, you know, imagines an ayahuasca, one of these experiences, one tea experience. And he basically asked a great question. He says, how can I get to this experience without having to use psychedelics or without having to use any form? How could I do this naturally? He says, how can the present moment awareness be achieved primarily through inner work instead of having to rely on external conditions such as substances, tools, ceremonies, rites, and rituals? That was his question. That's another thing he says in this book. We need to ask better questions instead of looking for answers. And that's a great, like, what's stopping me from getting married instead of where's my soulmate? See the difference? What's stopping me from getting married? The whole thing in life, it's really we need to focus on the blockages, not the answers. Because once we get rid of the blockages, the answers already come up. And that's another amazing thing. And really, why is presence so important? Because when you're present, nothing bothers you. Pain is only in the future or in the past. But if you're in the present moment, that is the moment that has. And this is very, obviously, very Rav Nachman, etc. And he begins this book by talking about, again, so if we the main thing is if you want to get better, feel better, you need to get better at feeling. Just put that line in your head. If I want to feel better, I need to get better at feeling. Such as if we want to increase our relationships, for example, if we want to increase the quality of our relationships with our spouses, we have to get better at not resenting and start listening. If we're upset that we're going through the problem, again, same thing. We take charge of something by taking charge out of it. That's another line he used. You take charge of something by taking the charge out of it. That means everything has a negative. Any negativity needs fuel to live. And how does negativity live? On resistance. That's how negativity lives. That means if I don't resist something, it can no longer bother me. It only, when I accept it, I surrender to it, it no longer bothers me. This is why Rav Nachman tells us many times that, you know, for example, if you're taking your teeth out, right? You're getting your teeth pulled out. You don't open your eyes. You close your eyes. You close your eyes to a better moment. But it doesn't mean you're avoiding the feeling. You're surrendering yourself to that feeling itself. And this is where he says, all our attempts to try to feel good all the time stem from a desire to suppress the fact that we are actually feeling is afraid, guilty, full of grief. You understand? Why you always want to feel good all the time is because something's boiling in you that you always want to escape the present moment. That you always want to. And I think today, social media did a great job of just taking you out of the moment. You understand? Since I've been off social media, I could see I've been a lot more present. A lot more present, and a lot more present, a lot more energy. Because there's always something always inside of us that's always brewing that has not been taken care of. For example, you know, from our childhood, if these things in childhood are not healed, they're coming up. The subconscious does not know the difference between something that's old or new. And he says, our task in life is not to recover, but to discover. Or to discover what's going on. And he says, we're going to talk about points of it. There's 13, 14 chapters on this. It's very, very deep, the messages. But he says the primary question that you should ask yourself from your childhood is what happened and how can I stop happening? Like these are the two things that are basically the questions of our childhood. What happened and how can I stop this from happening again? So he says, as long as you do not come to peace with these questions, as long as you do not, these questions remain unanswered, they deflect our attention from the present into past trauma and they project our future. Again, the biggest problem with being stuck in these problems is all you're doing is projecting the future. You're just projecting your insecurities on people. And he's going to talk about incredible things here. He says, if these two questions are unanswered, they're always going to come up. The presence always will stop bringing up anxiety. You understand? Anxiety results from unanswered questions. But it's, so if a person has, that's why therapy is extremely good, because at least you figured out what happened, and then you reframe it. That's the key to our lives. Like Yosef Atzadik, what did he say? I was not sold, I was sent here. So the key is to go into the past, it's healthy, only when you want to go and answer these two questions. What happened? How can I stop from happening again? Okay, and then change the narrative where you start saying, okay, well, that was back then, we made it about us, and now you're changing it. So this is where you really, really want to get. The only time you want to reflect into the past is etc. Now, what he's saying here is our emotional imprinting. And this is incredible what he's saying here. Saying here that the first 7 months, we are mainly imprinted by the vibration we feel in our mother's womb. That's the first 7 months. This occurs when we sense the heart beating, the lungs breathing, the blood pumping, the body movement, etc. The first 7 years, we are imprinted through our interactions with our parents and our family. So remember, so first 7 months, 7 years. Now, from 7 to 14, you are imprinted by encounters in school, peer groups, society, etc. So that's the teenagers. From 14 to 21, your first lovers, your interactions, and your broader physical environment. By the time we're 21, the energetic potential of our destiny is already printed vibrationally. It's extremely true. Our job in life is, by the time we get to 20, we have to build ourselves up. We have to build our ego. But after 20, you have to lose the ego. But there is issues that these are real issues, and you could see a lot of our childhood, etc. You know, my gambling addiction started from my uncles. My mother came here from Colombia with no money. All my cousins had money, and they were successful. And I'm like, I need to make money quick, so I started gambling. But that came from needing to prove to things. But you could see a gambling addiction had nothing to do with the casino. Had nothing to do with playing. Had to do with feeling not enough. So I had to go and prove to people that I had money. This is what happens. I'm trying to explain to you. So everything that happens to you in your life is imprinted. There's always an imprint of a situation in our lives. We go through an event, there's an imprint. Of course, if we bring that wisdom, it no longer becomes a positive imprint. It becomes experience. But if it's not dealt with in a positive way, through meaning and through way, it becomes imprinted for the negative. And that becomes an uncomfortable emotion that comes up, and it will always come up. And that will cause havoc in many relationships in your own life. And any attempt to block those feelings from coming up because they want to get healed is the problem. Is the problem. So again, we want to feel better, but we don't want to feel. That is a problem. And this is why all of these, again, the difference of what Judaism teaches us, we have to expand our consciousness, not alter it. When we're trying to alter our consciousness, all we're doing is pushing away darkness for more darkness. If you think it's going to get better, for example, this is the craziness of a pregnant woman saying, I have labor pains. Well, let me just go to Florida. That will be better. The labor pains are inside. It's not the labor pains are not, it's not an exterior thing. It's an interior thing. In other words, we take charge of our experience by taking the charge out of it. Correct? Because remember, negativity needs energy to live. So, and how do we give something energy? We think about it, like a cow. What does a cow do? It takes the same experience, chews it up, swallows it again, and chews it up. So we rummage a lot. We rummage a lot. This is why wisdom is the memory without the emotion. Our job, obviously, is to bring up these emotions. Feel this pain, let it come up, do not try to suppress it, and let it come up and sit with it, because it will teach you, it will allow you to learn from it, and allow you to heal it. This is what Hasidus calls bittul. Bittul. Surrender to the pain. Surrender. Let it happen. Feel the grief. Like Edith Eger says, first you have to grief, then you have to feel, and then you have to heal. These three things are extremely, extremely important. But if you're not present, what happens? It's just suppressing. So every time you get an uncomfortable feeling, right? Normally what happens in the gym? Let's say in the gym, you start getting very uncomfortable. What do? You stop and you pick up your phone. That's a normal habit. No, Sit through the pain. Sit through the pain. Do one extra rep on an uncomfortable. And this is how you start developing discipline. Sit. Even you know, yesterday I was hungry. And I'm like, I'm not really hungry. It's just in my head. So what did I do? I drank water. I drank electrolytes. Next thing you know, I sat with it. It went away, the craving. Otherwise, I would have just, give me some. I need something to eat now. Sit with it. Sit with it and recognize it lasts 12 minutes. And there you go. You can break a craving. You can break anything. If you sit with it and just not be bothered by it. Because you're bothered by it is the reason why you're not getting any results in that. And the importance of all of this is extremely important, because if you're not present, it's going to affect your relationships. It's going to affect your business. It's going to affect your prayer. How many times in talking to God in his bodhidut, you just have to sit there and be present and say, okay, nothing's coming out, but I'm going to continue talking. So if you can't handle short-term pain, there's going to be long-term pain, unfortunately. And that's where we have to start saying being uncomfortable is good. The main characteristics of a charged emotion is we perceive it to be uncomfortable. Why is it uncomfortable? It's because it's trapped. It's blocked. It's sedated. It's controlled energy. Very similar to letting go. It's from our childhood. And it's continued to, you know, how many people today tell you, I'm getting triggered. He's triggering me. This person's triggering me. Learn from the trigger. Learn from the trigger. Every time you get triggered and you run, you're just making the trigger worse and worse and worse. A trigger is good. A trigger needs to be healed. If a trigger, how many times, I'm triggered all the time. This person's triggering me. This is exactly what society is happening. This victim consciousness that we have. Anybody that says something, cancel, not trigger. Instead of learning, understanding from it. Why am I so bothered? Why am I so bothered by that question? Why am I so bothered by that comment? If I feel rejected, I've been rejecting myself. This is the chachma. This is what we're supposed to. So he says one way that people basically they show this projection is through drama. He says, listen to this. Drama is a reactive projection. Drama is a reactive projection. It's funny how you see it in Judaism. You'll see Sephardics, they like drama. Ashkenazim, they suppress, they sedate. We have two different systems. Moroccans will let you have it, but it's different kind of drama. It's drama outward, where there's resentment and self-medication, sedation, control, it's inward. That's what he's saying here. Drama is a reactive projection. What we're going to go through in these classes, we're going to difference between a reflection and a projection. Because what happens is if you can handle reflections, well, they don't become projections. But if you don't handle the reflections well, they become projections. And you could see people, they just project everything. It's because they can't handle the reflection. That's another thing. Stopping is what do we need to reflect on versus I'm just going to project. This is why, again, if we don't heal this, if we don't heal and we don't work on this, this is where do you think these things show up most? Where do you think all this shows up most? It shows up in your relationships when somebody's in your face all day long. At work, you can make money, you can tell people what to do. In your relationships, this is where this stuff shows up all day long. And this is why how Rabbi Rush and the Arizal says your spouse is your mirror. It's in your face all day long. It's practice. That's why relationships are so much work. It's because there's so much inner work that's not done. The rejection of ourselves is followed by seeking others' acceptance of us on our behalf. When we desperately try to borrow a sense of ourselves that are acceptable from individuals, then we start creating drama. So drama is really, really attention. Why does a kid do stupid things? He wants attention, right? Same thing. Why does an adult do stupid things? He wants attention. So that's one way. Second way is self-medication. Sedation and control. The second consequence of a charged emotion is also dramatic behavior, but it's inner discomfort, not outer drama. And this sedation is more of a feminine side. And he says, well, this is any sedation today is any, we're drowning ourselves in any form of, again, you know, any form of addictions, any form of
just, you know, instead of facing our stuff, we're stuffing our face. That is sedation. It's not outward, it's inward. Control is a dysfunction on the masculine side. It's the attempt to gain power over discomfort. This is why people take cigarettes. I'm taking a cigarette to resolve the problem. And what does marijuana do? Marijuana does both. Marijuana gives you sedation and control. This is why it's so popular. You understand? It gives you, but at the end of the day, it's not solving anything. It's just numbing the experience over and over and over again. So you have to understand that the quality of your life is going to start by becoming, understanding that you need to start feeling. I'm going to get through the book afterwards. There's many chapters on this. Because what happens is when this fails in life, like I've said 1,000 times, all you're doing is blaming the messenger. That is the problem. When this fails, when you have no presence, all you're doing, this person made me angry, that person, kids, my husband destroyed my life, this one, my job, this guy took my job away from me. This is, and that is called, idolatry, to lack of emuna. Because anytime you're saying that somebody took something from you, you're basically knocking God out of the picture. You're saying, God, it's impossible, this person took it out of me. So people, again, are just messengers. And we're going to go into this concept a lot. But until you make that flip, you're always going to be looking outside and you're never going to heal permanently. You start healing permanently when you start learning from pain. When you start, again, this is both ways. Also sitting with discomfort, because also even if you're working very, even if you cleared all the stuff from your past, right? Let's say I've cleared all the stuff from my past. So let's say now, you know, you have your new levels of spirituality. Then you're going to have to deal with resistance. Like Reb Nachman says, either you're running or returning. That any time that we're going through an experience in our life that a new light wants to become there, God always puts us through a constriction first. That means any time, let's say, for example, your vessel is contained at 100 millimeters and God wants to give you 200 millimeters, the 100 millimeters has to break in order for the 200 millimeters to come to you. So this is where we see all these trials and challenges. And in order for the 100 millimeters to break, it has to break. And then you have to get tested to see if you're worthy of a 200 millimeter. But again, without being present, we look at these tests as punishments. We look at Elohim as a separate entity, where we say on Yom Kippur, Yudke Vavke, and Elohim is one. But if you see the logistics of it, that's what I want you to start focusing on. Again, there's 13 chapters of how to get there, etc., which many things we've spoken about. But the first thing you need to put in your head this week, what am I doing? Why do I always want to feel better instead of trying to get better at feeling? And I promise you, if you start getting better feeling, you will feel better. I did this already, and I sat. So normally, I'm uncomfortable. I didn't want to read the whole book. But you said, you know what? This is exactly what I'm reading. I'm going to purposely read the whole book. Normally, 2 chapters go away, go on my phone. No, I need to sit with this feeling, and the feeling goes away. And then all of a sudden, you accomplish the whole book. Where normally you would just do 20, 30 minutes and not do it. You would go work out, you know, 30 minutes. No, 30, 40 minutes, and I'm going to be so uncomfortable and I'm going to be happy to be uncomfortable. And that's how you start developing discipline in your life. Especially those guys dealing with the 40-day challenge. It's all energy and you're feeding it. You're feeding the craving instead of letting the craving just disappear on its own. It's exactly what we do on Yom Kippur, right? We get those cravings for food. You get that point in Yom Kippur where you feel like you're dying. You have this one, you'll break for sure. There's no way you're going to make it this one. And next thing you know, after Yom Kippur, you walk out of there with 10 times more energy than you had before Yom Kippur. And you fasted. So it's all in our head. But just like everything else, we have a habit of folding quickly. Start developing more discipline on focus. Because I'll tell you right now, if you're focused and you have focus in life, that is one of the greatest, greatest luxuries you can have. Not being focused, always being distracted, always being can't accomplish one thing, procrastinate. That is not fun to be. It's not a fun thing. It leads to doing nothing at the end of the day. You're not going to get anything done. It's going to, your whole work, you're going to feel all the same. What did you do today? Oh, I got distracted here. I got distracted here. It's not, you don't feel good. You feel good when you get things done. You feel good when you overcome your cravings and you overcome your ADHD, lack of focus every second. This is what Gabor Matzah says, that he says that the reason why people have so much ADHD today is because of trauma. Because when they got yelled at, they looked away. So it becomes today a form of looking away. You know, not facing the pain. You're looking away out of shame, etc. Take this into the heart. We will talk about this. There's many, many chapters here to talk about. But definitely put that one line in your head. I've had that line already over a week in my head since I read the book. And it's completely made a major shift in random. That's the same. Always what I tell myself. Do I want to feel better? Get better at feeling. And as you go through it, you will see most of the things that we're going through, we are making it worse than they are because we are feeding it. We need to take the charge out of it. Like David Hawkins says, right? Let it go. But here, this is not much sort of let it go. This is more of a learning from it. Learning from it. Learning what needs to be healed. Why am I always getting this? That's the difference between letting go and this. This is more about learn from this feeling. Learn from the insult. Learn from the 2-minute attention span. Learn from it. Learn from it. Why are you like that? Maybe because you failed a test in school and you don't think you're smart enough. I guarantee you, if you do enough meditation, you'll see all the past stuff coming up. And you'll see why this is happening. And I'll end with this example, which is a great example. Imagine you go to your friend's house for an hour a week, right? Go to the house 1 week, you sit there, you go to coffee, etc. But imagine if you stay there for 1 month. All of a sudden, you start seeing there's a crack on the wall here. Why is this like this? There's a difference between doing shallow work and doing deep work. This is where you have to go deeper into the work. You'll start noticing things when you spend more time versus, oh, I'm just going to go there. You won't notice the crack on the wall. You won't notice the chip on the table. You won't notice this. But you'll notice it when you go into deeper. So may Hashem bless us all that we should all, again, and the presence process is the Mashiach. The presence means Mashiach. Why does it mean Mashiach? Because when dat is whole, when you have dat, you have presence. That is Mashiach, by the way. A person who has dat, it's like he built his temple. What is dat? Being present. Being clear. That is dat. When you talk about presence, that is dat. That's what we want. Where the wolf, where everybody will be at peace because we won't see any differences. That is dat. So when we the closer we get to Mashiach, this is what Rav Nachman said. He said it in Lesson 261. They asked them, when is Mashiach going to come? Today. When you live in the consciousness of today. Have a great day.